Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Ever since the fall of humanity, this precious gift of life we've received has been fraught with difficulties. Our physical bodies, they don't function properly. We get sick, we face disabilities, we age, things break down, and of course, we die. But when we find ourselves seeking healthcare, how can we be sure that the many difficult decisions we make coincide with what God wants for us, which is what's best for us as His children? Pope Francis is offering his March prayer intention for a Christian response to these types of bioethical concerns. Here to tell us more, Teresa Towell is a nurse practitioner with a specialty in geriatrics and president emeritus of Curatio, an apostolate for Catholic healthcare professionals here in the Archdiocese. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And, you know, we've all heard of bioethics. We've heard of that, just the term at least. But what does bioethics mean? What does it look like from a Catholic perspective?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think it is a branch of applied ethics that studies the philosophical, social, legal issues about, medicine, life sciences. But a Catholic bioethicist is going to look at these issues like more through a theological and moral lens, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So in simple words, we look at the situation and we know that we are oriented towards the good, and, you know, we don't want to make it bad, if that makes sense. So just, you know, to describe my, you know, qualifications to actually talk today is that, you know, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a philosopher, I'm not actually even a certified bioethicist, but I am a practicing Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to focus on how the Church has given us the tools and guidelines to help us follow God's laws to discern these bioethical issues that we, you know, come across in our everyday life.
Right.
So not just in work. I work certainly in healthcare, and so in geriatrics, it's a very common theme.
Sure.
Right? Most of the time when people think of bioethics, they think of end-of-life care decisions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. But, of course, there are other ones as well. So what are some of the other common bioethical challenges that are faced here in today's day?
Right. Well, you know, stem cells is a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
is a more recent bioethical challenge, cloning, you know, genetic testing. But, you know, determination of brain death and organ donation is areas that people really need to think about and have decisions made ahead of time.
Right.
So that when they come to a crisis, they won't have to, you know, try to, you know, make an emotive response, mm-hmm. but they'll actually use good deductive reasoning and good, you know, rational thought based on, you know, natural law. That's what natural law is using, the precepts of, you know, that was oriented towards the good.
Right, right. And speaking of precepts, I know, well, for instance, I have a lot of appreciation for what you just said. My wife and I have been actually watching one of these medical dramas on TV lately, and I got to say that whenever they're making these choices, especially, if I may say so, if they end up making a choice contrary to what I know or we know Catholic teaching to be, they always play up the emotional piece of it. So when you say not making an emotional response or emotive response, I think that's great. But you mentioned precepts. What are some of the foundational issues that practicing Catholics should be at least aware of, if not, you know, draw from actively when they're making some sort of bioethical decision? What are some of those defined truths about bioethical issues on which that we can, you know, always fall back on?
Right. Certainly, you know, right to life, the dignity of human life. So what does it mean to be life affirming? And, you know, we can look back to, we have multiple, documents from the Vatican documents like Evangelii Vitae. Boy, my Latin is terrible this morning. you know, the incomparable worth of the human person. Veritatis Splendor talks about man created in the image and likeness of God. You know, so Pope St. John Paul II has really written a lot about the culture of death. And Pope Francis also talks about the throwaway culture, you know, the lack of respect for human dignity. So those are really the basics of
okay.
it.
Yeah.
And it actually goes back to the Greek philosophers. You know, even Plato, he talked about virtue as the health of the soul, that a good soul by its virtue renders the body the best that is possible. So I think it's really interesting, you know, that it kind of comes to following God's laws. That's really what natural law is. It's, you know, it's inspired by divine revelation.
And to what degree would you say, Teresa, that these bioethical concerns, because as I tried to stress in my intro, you know, we're all going to face these. If we haven't already, we're going to face them at one time or another, because we're all in the midst of healthcare. We all will face end-of-life issues, either for ourselves or for loved ones, because our life, our mortal life, will indeed come to an end, and there'll be some choices to make, most likely in and around what's going on. But how do these concerns... You know, I guess people might be tempted to say, yeah, but especially if they're young, you know, this is a ways off. I don't really have to be concerned. But how would you say these bioethical concerns and really being formed in them, how does that affect the way we live out our faith today?
Yeah, you know, I think you really hit it on the head. I mean, they affect every aspect of our life and our family and our community. So, as Monsignor Shea just said in the advertisement, you know, your life is not about you. We are a community. And so everything we do affects the others around us. And for the very breath we take, right? So right now, you know, the use of masks, the cleanliness of our air, these are impacting us. And I think if we are oriented to the good, if we can look back to natural law, then, you know, you want to do good. You need to know ahead of time what are these principles that you want to follow in your life. You know, we need to live intentionally, in other words.
Right.
I have to say, you know, as a practicing Catholic, I mean, I think that our church has given us the tools and guidelines to help follow God's laws. And that's really what bioethics is. If you are trying to discern these really big pictures, you need to, you know, break it down to the simple things that, you know, lead us in our everyday life.
Right, right. And the church has been giving us, and you gave us some great resources. Any other, especially online resources you would recommend for people who are looking to learn more about these bioethical concerns?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, even apps, like everyone should have the Catechism of the Catholic Church, either on the book or in the app. There's some, you know, really great... great teaching of the church in that. And even if it hasn't, you know, even if, you know, because of technology, the church might not even have something specifically stated out, but, you know, it'll write out the principles that we should follow. The Vatican documents, like I said, the encyclicals and apostolic letters, Humanae Vitae, which is Pope Paul VI in 1968. He was interpreting on how to interpret moral law, and he speaks of natural law, which is, again, illuminated and enriched by divine revelation, and also discussing marital love. And then Pope John Paul II's writings. You can go to Children of God for Life, which is a ethical biomedical research and manufacturing they'll, you know, evaluate what the connection is to abortion and different things. Here in Minnesota, we have Alliance for Ethical Healthcare. That's ethicalcareMN.org. That's actually a non-religious organization, but it focuses on the opposition of assisted suicide, so it can help you to understand the arguments with that. And within the Catholic Church, we have Sacraments for Seniors, which is so sacramentsforseniors.com. And that's an interesting little organization that's just our apostolate that's just trying to help get those that are in facilities access, again, to the sacraments. It's amazing how, you know, when you think of bioethical problems, we think of, you know, these big ones with end-of-life care, but really the neglect in facilities and not you know, purposefully the neglect, but just because of the system failure, you know, with facilities don't have, you know, volunteers that can go up because of the pandemic. And,
sure.
You know, the staff is just stretched and family can't visit like they used to. And, you know, the failing of the human person, we just kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So anyway, so Sacraments for Seniors is one of those that's trying to help bridge that gap and get people, you know, back to helping facilities.
Yeah,
And then, you know, the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and that is really the premier place for us to, you know, to learn about the bioethics, the Catholic response.
Right,
and people
right.
have to know that Catholic bioethics may be different from secular bioethics.
Yeah, without a doubt, right? There's many things to be explored there. And let me ask you, before we have to let you go, Teresa, let me ask you one, just your advice. So oftentimes we have to enter into conversations with others. Maybe it's about some political issue that rests, you know, a lot on bioethical concerns, whereas Catholics believe one thing and a larger society or others that we're discussing with may believe something else. Maybe it's a family member who is seeking out some sort of treatment or care that actually, you know, conflicts with our Catholic teaching. Any quick advice for anybody who's in that sort of situation and how we can approach them and how we can engage them in conversation without it devolving into, you know, just a shouting match?
Right. You know, it does require humility. And if you can help to bring people to that in order to search for the truth, you know, it might be uncomfortable and inconvenient, but if we recognize that we want to be truly happy, then you want to follow God's laws where you can really unite with Christ. In Christ, there's no fear, no despair. You know, this is really what's tearing our families apart and our society apart is this fear and the despair that comes when things aren't going well. So I think that you know, if you can help people really to connect with God. So that's prayer, sacraments, you know, really having them taking time for rational reflection about these big issues. I think, you know, God'll bring us all together, I think, if we spend time with him.
Yeah, amen. That actually ties in nicely with our previous interview about how important prayer is and how important it is to open ourselves up to the will of God. Well, Teresa, it's been a great pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us with your wisdom and insight around bioethical concerns. And God bless you as you continue to do good work for him.
Thank you for having me. God bless you, and thank you for your program.
Amen. You're welcome. If you are interested specifically, Teresa gave us lots of great, great resources that we can check out to learn more about the Catholic view on some of these bioethical concerns. But I would definitely point you towards, as she mentioned, the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Their website is ncbcenter.org. Also, right here in Minnesota, our Minnesota Catholic Conference, mncatholic.org, also has some great resources available there too on some of our bioethical concerns as well. I will just bet that you know someone who you think would make a good religious brother or sister. Maybe you know someone discerning a call. But how does someone discern a call? And specifically, how do you choose a particular religious order? We'll take a look into it right after this.